and welcome. You are listening to an episode of the Sales Chat Show. To stream or download a host of further free episodes that will power your sales success, please visit saleschatshow.com. We really hope that you enjoy and benefit from this episode. So, hello, folks, and welcome to yet another episode from the Sales Chat Show, saleschatshow.com, driving your sales forward. I'm Simon Hazeldine, and I am joined by the esteemed Sales Chat Show team, Mr. Anthony Steers and Mr. Graham Jones, for another episode for our wonderful listeners. This episode is called How Very Exciting upbeat episode title, How to Beat Your Competitors to the Sale Every Time. Wow, that's a big promise. I think we are channeling for this episode our inner Top Gun, folks. So if you've seen the original first Top Gun movie with Tom Cruise, there is a very, very famous little scene where he says, "I feel the need for speed." And we are indeed talking about speed. This episode has been inspired by an article we found online, 12 quick speed to lead stats you need to know. We found it at chilipiper.com, where they pulled together a whole ton of data on how speed impacts customers' response to leads, etc., being followed up. So why do we say beat your competition to the sale every time? One of the pieces of data they share, 55% of companies take longer than 5 days to respond to a new lead, and 12% don't do anything at all. So we can beat them. How do you beat those competitors to the sale? Being faster than 5 days, which is not exactly an Olympic sprint speed, is it, gentlemen? So that is actually
I have to
terrifying.
Say that statistic like that takes my breath away, which if you're a Top Gun aficionado, you'll understand.
Oh, very, very nice link to Top Gun there, Mr. Jones. Very, very, very nice. Yeah. But it is joking aside, five days. Is that's just like mad, right? That's just has the world of sales gone mad? Five days.
It's because salespeople have so much going on that they haven't got time to deal with the inquiries.
Or are they just asleep? If 12% aren't responding at all, you know, one in eight companies are asleep.
Yeah, and that is, here's sales. Oh, if marketing only sent us some decent leads. And then marketing are going, well, if you actually followed up on them, I mean, I know somewhere between those, the marketing and sales, we'll find the happy land, the balance between the two. But that is absolutely, absolutely crazy. Organizations that contact a lead within the first hour are 7 times more likely to qualify than the prospect than an organization that responds in 2 hours. Amazing how quickly this deterioration is happening. Slow lead response time increases customer churn by 15%. So there's quite a few others. You know, 90% of leads go inactive after 30 days. Go figure, right? Of course they do, right? Like that is absolutely crazy.
It's just worth pointing out that statistic you just mentioned comes from a Harvard Business Review paper. And there's a line in it that says, "These results are especially shocking." So if Harvard Business Review is telling us, it's got a lovely graph, actually, that I'm looking at now, that has got, you know, businesses who do really good, great things, and then everybody else is doing naff all, basically, and then wondering why they're not selling. And so, you know, many firms are slow to respond, it says. And if you're slow to respond and Harvard Business Review says this is shocking, then maybe it's time for people to take some action and respond more quickly.
And be responsive.
I think we might need to slightly qualify this. If the Harvard Business Review have used as strong language as shocking, I can think of a couple of other ways to describe that I won't, because we don't like bad words on the Sales Chat Show. But it's more than shocking. It's amazing. It
You
is
also have to
just.
remember that Harvard Business Review is an academic publication, and so emotive words like shocking are not used. So this is, this is a profanity of extreme proportions.
This is a very rude word in the Harvard. It's shocking. Oh my goodness, the professors at Harvard are shocked. But it is absolutely shocking, because those organizations, or the organizations that are generating all of the content, etc., to get the leads from the customers, and whoever's responsibility it is within the organization, let's not point the finger of blame until we know, like, who to point it at. But that's for the overall organization. Now, if you're a sales leader or you're a revenue leader listening to this, I think you've got to look at that, because the speed is so important. I mean, Graham, we've spoken about this before. You've written a book on e-commerce, for example, and all of that kind of world. And I remember you saying that the B2C, our consumers, when we're consumers, because of the service we get from people like Amazon, we expect speed. And we expect that from our B2B suppliers as well. It's a bit unfair, like, to be compared to the mighty Amazon, but that's affecting, I seem to remember you telling me, that's affecting everyone's speed expectations.
It's affected how we think of response times, and we expect them to be more rapid. And when you can put something on social media and somebody can like it in fractions of a second, as it were, once they see it, then we all expect things to be more rapid than they have been in the past. But we also wanted speed in the past. If you walked into a shop, it's probably worthwhile pointing out to people that I can remember life before the internet. I know that you can't, either of you, because you're far too young to
No,
remember life before the
I've got
internet.
very, very good moisturizer, Graham, and I've got a nice filter on my camera. But no, I can
But
remember.
I can also remember the days of black and white television, so that's going back. But when you walked into the shop then, because there were no supermarkets when I was a child, you would walk into a shop, and if you were not responded to, the shopkeeper would immediately respond when you walked in. Go to my mum, hello, Mrs. Jones, kind of thing. Whereas if she stood there and nobody was there, you kind of go, oh, the shop's shut, and you'd walk out. So you expected immediate recognition, immediate. So it's not actually a great deal of difference. It's just that we're all more used to rapid response now, and that when we can get things more quickly, we just expect them more quickly. So, when we had mail order shopping before the internet, it was like 28 days delivery kind of thing. And then if they were really good, they'd do 14 days delivery. And then that got down to, distribution and logistics got down to 7 days, and now you can get things the same day. And Amazon is working to within the hour now. So to be able to deliver by drone in the hour, is coming to the UK later this year. So it's the pressure is on because people expect things to be quick. Now, if you can't, as a salesperson, respond as quick as people want you to, then you've got to organize things in such a way that you can be seen to be responding quickly.
So your
So,
organization has to support you in doing that, right? Which is, oh, it's not just necessary. We're not pointing, that I say, we're not pointing the finger of blame at individual salespeople necessarily, because you need to think about what you prioritize in your working day. But obviously, your organization, your leadership, your management will have an influence on that. Yeah, Anthony, your thoughts.
All I was going to say there was that, like you say, we're not all retail customers, but that retail environment, we expect that really responsive, instant acknowledgement and help if we want it. Interesting, the stat that Simon shared was that you're seven times more likely to qualify a prospect if you respond in the first hour. But the next stat after that says responding to a lead within the first minute increases your conversion by 391%. So does this this explain why a lot more companies now try and use chatbots? Because
Yeah.
people want that instant engagement rather than sending off an email and hoping that somebody's going to read it and come back to them.
So chatbots or instantaneous emails that respond, anything that tells people that they've had some kind of response. And we get terribly frustrated, don't we, when we're buying things online and you don't know if it's gone through because it doesn't go to a success page. They've got the order, but they haven't told you they've got the order. So we get terribly frustrated by the way that websites work in terms of selling. But if you're even if but everybody in the B2B world experiences the B2C world because they are customers. So everybody who is one of, if you're a B2B salesperson, the people you're selling to have been used to instantaneous communication about everything they're buying. So I've got a slide in a slide deck, must be 10 years old now, that says that 78% of all B2B buyers want the companies they're buying from to work like Amazon. And that's 10 years old. Yeah. And so they because they live in a world, we all live in this world of instant gratification. We expect it from, we don't change our experience when we go to a B2B company. We don't go, oh, it's different because it's B2B. To us, it's still a sales experience.
And the other one on here that we I'm interested in Anthony's perspective. You're the expert over the telephone here, man. You this is your specialist area. 30% of prospects will go to a competitor if you don't respond quickly enough. That'll be the difference between Anthony picking up the phone, being able to talk to the customer soon, and like it takes 3 days for Anthony to phone. No matter how good Anthony is, and he is good over the telephone, if you've left it too long, you can have all the skills in the world, right? Customer's gone somewhere else.
Yeah, I think early bird catches the worm, I believe is the phrase. And I think that in a marketing space where a lot of people are even subscribed to lead generating services, they know that that lead is going to get given to two or three of their competitors. You're not the only person buying that information. And that's the bit that always baffles me when you're subscribing to lead services, yet you're not instantly trying to respond or responding as quick as you can. And for smaller, independent type people, I know that they have this kind of, I think it was described as brain fog from one of our fellow speakers who went, well, I don't want to respond too quickly, otherwise they're going to know I haven't got any work on or I might look desperate. And I just said, well, what's better, making them wait a day and realize you've missed the boat? I would phone them up and say, wow, you just caught me in between a couple of calls. This has just come in. I just figured I haven't got long, but I just wanted to acknowledge your message, see if I can give you some quick answers and set up a proper conversation.
I'd run the risk of them interpreting it as desperate, just in case they might also think I'm really professional and responsive. And also, the way you behave in the selling process is how they think you're going to be when you're doing the delivery. So, I
Well, I
mean,
think kind of what Graham was saying just before, I think that when we think about lead responses, okay, most salespeople think, well, the response is to then do the pitch and the sale bit. But actually, I think that sometimes the quick response just needs to be an acknowledgement. Let them know that you know that it's there. Because otherwise, it's that uncomfortable silence where you think, well, is anybody listening? Should I go and knock next door and try somewhere else? Because if you don't know that they've received it or that they're interested to talk to you, you kind of going on the assumption that perhaps they haven't got round to reading it yet, and perhaps I'm not important enough for them to come back to.
Well, with all the automation that's available and all the artificial intelligence on us, so the stat that is amazing. The average lead response time for website leads is 17 hours. I assume that includes the automated response. Thank you very much for your inquiry. We will pass it to one of our representatives who will be in touch with you shortly. 17 hours. Like you'd be gone, wouldn't you? You'd be gone somewhere else. It's so maybe if you're investing, your company's investing all this money in the website and attracting these people, and please put your email in our response, or please contact us form, and then you haven't got the infrastructure or the process to capture and do something with that quickly. If you put these stats together, it sort of says you might as well not bother. You know, it's and again, I don't want to fuss all the salespeople because you know it might be that your organization hasn't got the right process and things in place. But you know, I think we just have to have this urgency. You know, this urgency has to be part of how we respond to new leads. We have to, you know, as they say in the article, right? Prioritize lead response time in your organization, right? If you've got a high growth sales, you don't want to grow revenue and you need new customers, you have to prioritize lead response time. All of these statistics are saying if you move quickly, you will beat your competitors to the sale pretty much every single time. Even if they then do contact them, Anthony's got there first. Anthony's had a question. He's questioned. He might have reshaped the customer's understanding of what they might need because he's helped them. Anthony's got them, right? I can be the best salesperson in the world, right? But I'm now responding
And
to a lead that's
I
changed.
know that if I get in early and I'm the first person to speak to them of the different suppliers they might be speaking to, I can then plant the right questions for them to ask the other people that they're going to speak to, where I know they don't do the same thing as me. So it gives me an advantage to get in early rather than coming in last. Some people, it's interesting because some people kind of want to get in first, knowing that you're going to get three prices, because they want to be the kind of the bar that you're going to get measured against. And I meet other salespeople who want to go last because they don't want to wait around while the other prices are coming in. They just want to know what price to beat. They come in with hopefully a price beating offer and they think that that's going to win them the deal. I think it's a tricky
Yeah,
one.
there's lots of assumptions here, aren't there? Yeah, that so people assume that if you go too quickly, they think you're desperate. Well, the people who think that are the desperate ones. Whereas the people who think I'd better get in quickly are the ones who are keen to get a sale, and then work out because they're very busy, how on earth do I do this at that point, having got the sale? So if you're worried about jumping in too quickly, that's because you're probably focusing on the wrong thing. You've got an internal focus rather than an external focus there. And also, if you're assuming that it's better to wait till last because then you can, quote the best price, that means you're selling based on price, which is never the best place to be, because that does make the customer think you're desperate. And so they're less likely to buy from you anyway. And in most sales, price is not the key factor that people buy on. And all good salespeople know that. But I can hear our friend Phil Jessen in the background saying to us, don't forget the 80-20 rule. That means that 80% of sales will go to 20% of companies. And yeah, you look at or look at all the technology businesses or whatever kind of business sector you want to look at, there will be a small number of companies who mop up the majority of the market, and they're responding quickly. So if you actually want to beat these people, you don't have to worry about price. You just have to worry about answering the phone or answering the email immediately, not waiting. It couldn't be more straightforward from all this data. So what's holding people back? Either it's assumption or it's inadequate processes in the business.
I mean,
I think
I suppose the assumption I would jump to if somebody doesn't come back to me is either you haven't got the capacity, you're too busy to be able to deal with me, or you don't care enough about me. So either way, it kind of is
caring
negative.
is actually very important because this ties into the number of sales calls that people make, because we know that most salespeople give up after two phone calls. Most sales are made after the seventh phone call. And when you ask people, and there's a very good book called Sales Genius that mentions this. I don't know if you've
Is
heard
it
of it.
by somebody called Jones?
That's it.
Graham Jones. That's it. Sales Genius by Graham Jones. That's the most shameless plug I think you've ever done.
There's a chapter in the book which explains that actually when you ask people, why are you waiting for the seventh call? The answer is because by that time, the company has shown me they want me as a customer. In other words, they value me. Whereas if they've given up after two calls, it's demonstrated they do not value me.
It's that,
So
oh, I feel
actually,
adequately chased now that I'm prepared
quite.
to give
Yeah.
up.
So that what's happening is that salespeople are giving up because they're making the assumption that the customer isn't interested, but they've got to flip that the customer is interested, but they want you to show them you're interested. And so people give up those, so all this world of assumption about, do you value the customer, is that if you value the customer, you respond quickly, not slowly.
Well, that I've got to say, and I'll call it how it is. That assumption that if I respond too quickly, I look desperate, I think is a massive assumption and a mind read by somebody who I don't think is psychic. I have no evidence for that. What I do have evidence for is the lead speed statistics, of which there are so many. I'd rather go with the data, which says move fast, and if one customer every now and again goes, "Oh, you must be desperate." So what? I mean, because the rest of them are going, "Thank you so much for responding to me quickly, because I'm thinking about this right now." And that's first mover advantage as well, right? Get in there first. Get in there. The
And let's be
earlier
honest
you
with
enter
you,
their buying process, the
if
more influence you have.
yeah, but let's be honest with you, if one out of 100 went, "Oh, you must be desperate, I've only just pressed send on that," I don't think anybody's going to go, "Yeah, I am desperate, I really need a sale." They're going to say, "Well, lucky for you, Mr. Prospect, I've literally just put down the phone and this landed, and I thought I'd call you straight away. But if now isn't a good time, we could schedule another call." You've instantly diffused the whole, "You think I'm desperate," to, "No, I'm just got my finger on the pulse, and you were lucky enough that I'm free as soon as it landed."
Desperate is caused by not having enough leads coming in, entering your sales pipeline. So you don't have enough pipeline sufficiency that you haven't got enough deals live and kicking to get over all your quota achieved, Graham. Stay where you are. Hit your sales target by the quarter or the year end. Because I know as soon as I mention quota or target, Graham's going to go, "You
He
shouldn't
was.
have them. Let's get rid of them." But most of our listeners do, Graham, with the greatest of respect. Desperation is phoning them on the last day of the month and going, "Can I please have the purchase order?" That's desperate. And if you've got enough pipeline sufficiency, you don't need to worry about it,
I'll
or you
just
need
come
to
back
worry
to
about
the
it less.
80-20 rule. 80% of businesses have sales targets.
Yeah.
Twenty percent
Yeah.
don't. The 20% that don't are getting 80% of the business.
I'm about to say, Anthony, go on then, Graham, prove that with statistics, but I'm not going to, because you probably will.
He probably
So
will.
if you have not listened to our two legendary, I say episodes, arguments, where we argue, it was Phil and I at the time, Anthony managed to avoid that, where we argued with Graham about why you should have sales targets. And I think, to be quite honest with you, Phil and I lost both times in a row to Graham's arguments.
He
But
always annoyingly has evidence to back up his
But you
argument,
see,
doesn't he?
this is the point. It says Simon's just mentioned the evidence, the data that shows that the companies who respond quickly are the ones who get in the business, and the people who are assuming that if you respond quickly, you're seen as desperate. So he's gone with the evidence there. But the evidence he's choosing to support sales targets is because companies have them. Well, that's not evidence. The evidence is, do they work? Do they produce increase in sales? And there is no evidence to support that. The evidence is to the contrary. So
Anyway, in the
if you want to
interest
go
of
with
time, he
the
says, shifting uncomfortably in his seat as he's once again boxed into a corner by Mr. Graham, "I've got the evidence," Jones on sales targets. This is Simon Hazeldene, who talks about data-driven decision-making for salespeople, desperately trying to use anecdotal evidence to get me off the hook. So
And that is me.
I should
I'm
know
just
I've
a
lost so
yeah,
many
I was going to
times.
say, and I'm just a happy-go-lucky salesman who's optimistic and crosses his fingers and keeps talking to people. But I
And
support.
who never assumes that they'll think you're desperate.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Like I said, I can turn around somebody who thinks I'm desperate into kind of going, "Well, no, I just like to be responsive. I haven't actually got much time to talk to you right now. I've only got 3 minutes before my next call, but I figured you'd probably appreciate a quick acknowledgement. And if there's a quick question you will need me
Brilliant.
to answer, I'm here to do that. But otherwise, I'd really like to schedule a call." My big gripe, I suppose, is that I work with a lot of sales teams, and the biggest moan usually is about marketing and the quality of the leads, either the quality or the quantity of those leads. The shocking statistics that we've been sharing today basically says that salespeople don't have much of a leg to stand on, because they're disrespecting their leads and their marketing department by sloppily leaving them and thinking that they'll wait. And knowing at least 30% are going to talk to your competitors just because you haven't responded quick enough means that you could be making your life so much easier. So, yeah, my big thing to anybody in sales who's listening to this right now is, yeah, forget looking desperate. Desperation you can brush over and correct very easily, whereas being too late for the party, not much consolation there, I'm afraid.
Another one of these statistics is 30% of your prospects will go to a competitor if you don't respond quickly enough. And all the data about quickly enough is, you know, almost immediately is the answer.
Anthony's not responded because he's not desperate. It will be Anthony's not responded because he doesn't care or he's not professional or whatever. That's how I would.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, Anthony, to use you. That's how I would interpret it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, obviously, with us, we're sometimes delivering, or Graham, you'd be in a classroom, or Simon, we're in workshops. So I can't necessarily see the emails coming in straight away. But I'd always be checking them in my breaks. And if I get a break and I see a lead come in, the likelihood is obviously I'm the telephone assassin, but I'm going to pick up the phone and they may not even answer. I might have been 2 hours since they sent their message, but I would then leave a message to say, "Hey, Simon, so sorry I wasn't able to respond quicker. I'm actually delivering training today," which shouldn't be a surprise to them because they know what I do. And then I could say, however, I've got some time tomorrow or these windows when I'd love to have a proper chat and find out more. Let me know when we could set something up. But don't worry, I'll send you an email at the end of the day if I've not heard back from you. So I feel like I can sort of rescue it, even if I feel that I've been a little bit slower than I'd have wanted to have been.
But also this is where technology can come in, you know, because you can have... If you're a salesperson and you're out on the road and you're driving several hours a day, for example, and you can't get to people immediately, you know, if you have your schedule available to your existing clients so they can see your, you know, a web page with your status on it, so they know that, you know, you're not going to respond for another 3 hours, but they know it's about clarity of communication. As soon as the communication is clear and people have an understanding, then actually they don't mind if you take 3 hours, whereas if they don't have any clarity, they want an immediate response.
So, I really like that sharing of your availability in the calendar. I suppose that's where Calendly came in, and a lot of people now kind of go, well, here you go, Mr. Customer, pick a slot in my diary that suits you best.
Quite.
And I mean, if you are smaller businesses, get yourself a VA, get yourself automation, get it responded to so the customer knows, and then you can. But for the folks from larger organizations, I think you need to have a conversation within your organization, and sales leaders, managers definitely do. You've got to prioritize lead response time based on all of these statistics and also based on common sense and experience, right? So, you know, we've absolutely got to make sure that is a priority, or else your competitors are the ones who are going to beat you to the sale every time, not the other way around. So I think, folks, what I'd say is and on behalf of Anthony and Graham, like, channel your inner Tom Cruise, your Maverick in Top Gun, and feel the need for speed, right? We got to move quickly on leads. So have that conversation inside your organization. Yeah, we don't know what the quality of your leads you've got coming through from your marketing folks are, if that's where they're coming from, the MQLs. So have a conversation about that as well, maybe. But in the meantime, to Anthony's point, for goodness sake, move as fast as you can on the ones that you've got, and you know, start from there. Because if you don't, you're going to, you know, and based on this, if you're in the same industry as us three, we're going to have got there first. So, you know, that's the name of the game. Gentlemen, closing thoughts other than speed?
Well, I would just say that, as explained in Top Gun, remember, boys, no points for second place.
Have you also just got like a repository of movie quotes sitting in front of you as well? Your ability to pluck these things out of what appears to be thin air, Mr. Jones, is quite remarkable.
Yes, I've got Google. I don't know if that helps.
Yes, got Google. Mr. Steers, any thoughts from you?
I think the main thing for me, because of my situation in my business, and you sort of mentioned about the smaller or the independent type workers, utilizing that automation and combining the technology, the meeting booking platform, things like Calendly, you could actually get your response time down to almost instantaneous, by setting up some really simple systems. So if you physically can't respond quickly and you know you can't, you owe it to yourself to set up a little bit of automation that will start to funnel people into your diary when you are available. And just such easy things to do that I think many of us just don't get round to doing. We think it doesn't matter, but it really does.
And automation, it's easier and easier. Like there's
Oh,
so
yes.
much stuff available now that it's so much easier than it was this time last year. So, even so, whatever the challenge is, there's probably a bit of tech and automation that's going to be able to help. As well as what will also help is, of course, listening to the 300 plus episodes in the saleschatshow.com back library. Did you like that incredibly? They're both laughing at me, folks. You obviously can't see this. They're both laughing at the incredibly smooth and professional way I segued across into our back catalogue of 300 episodes. They're both shaking their heads and putting their heads in their hands at how unbelievably crass that was. So you'll find them all from wherever you prefer to access your podcast, or you'll find us at saleschatshow.com. And please remember to subscribe, and you'll be notified of new episodes which come out on a regular basis. In the meantime, good luck and good selling, particularly if you move faster than your competition. Thank you very much for listening, folks. See you next time. You have been listening to an episode of the Sales Chat Show. To stream or download a host of further free episodes that will power your sales success, please visit saleschatshow.com. Thank you very much for listening to this episode, and from everyone here at the Sales Chat Show, we'd like to wish you good luck and good selling.